This Thanksgiving Day, we continue in, for many of us, what are familiar patterns of giving thanks. Many of you today already are enjoying time together with family and friends. Maybe the house is being filled with the smell of turkey and all the trimmings. And there's some familiar patterns that we're falling into of getting ready now for the upcoming Advent season and Christmas. Maybe today or this weekend, the Christmas tree will come out and we'll have an opportunity to decorate it over the next few days. These are things that we look forward to in the familiar patterns of life that are familiar to us, that give us a continuity in the opportunities of giving thanks, worshiping, serving as the Lord's people, preparing for Christ the Lord's coming. But also, on the other hand, maybe today is also a day where there's some change that we're experiencing, maybe for the first time. A loved one no longer with us or has moved away. Or maybe we're dealing with some changes just for this season. I know my family, we've postponed our typical traditional Thanksgiving Day feast for later on in the week so that we can spend a time getting better from illness and protecting our family from what we've had as well. So maybe there are some changes that are going on as well. When we hear the word of the Lord this morning, we hear a familiar passage, something that we hear every Thanksgiving Day in the journey of Jesus as God's Son and our Savior among us. That is a familiar message to us for this Thanksgiving, but it's a familiar message that brings great change to some lives, and your life and mine is one of them. We hear in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, that on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. This was a familiar route for Jesus. It wasn't necessarily the most traditional route, but it was the fastest route between the north and the south, between Galilee and Jerusalem. And so Jesus would travel this route periodically. Remember that Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria while traveling this route. And so on his way in this familiar, we could say traditional, route of travel, he comes across now into a village, 10 men, and they had leprosy. And they came to meet him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And indeed, they are worthy of pity. They're ostracized, as we know lepers were in Jesus' day. Ostracized from their community, their family. They weren't allowed to work or have any interaction with people who didn't have leprosy. The only people that they could have any interaction with were other lepers. And they lived in isolated communities. They had no participation in the religious life of Israelite law, temple sacrifice. They couldn't go to the synagogue. They were ostracized. If anybody was worthy of pity in their society and culture, it were lepers. And they know Jesus is coming to their village. Have pity, mercy. Have kindness upon us, Jesus. And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. This is the traditional method of proving that you had been cured of an illness, leprosy included. That you would go and show yourself to the religious leader, the priest, and they would declare you then clean. Maybe even after some more time of making sure the disease was gone from your body, your life. And then you would be declared welcomed back into the community. And so Jesus follows this very traditional law of the Israelites. Go and show yourself to the priests. But it wasn't the priests who would declare them to be clean. In fact, it was Jesus himself who would heal them as they were making their way to the priests. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising the Lord God Almighty in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was one of us, an outsider. He was a Samaritan, but he was one who wasn't included in part of the covenant of the Old Testament law. Grace there, too, in God's covenant with the Israelites. But he was healed. And he recognized that as he was on his way, it wasn't the priest who was declaring him to be healed. He already was, and he wanted to go back and declare and give thanks to the one who had healed him. Praise and thanksgiving. Doxa and Eucharisto. Doxa is that word that Luke uses here to express this leper's praising God. He is acknowledging doxa, praising God, is the acknowledgement that the one who is worthy of praise is receiving that adoration. By his own declaration, the one who is receiving the praise has proved himself worthy of that praise. It's where we get the word doxology, and of where we sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Our doxology of praise unto the one who is worthy of the praise, acknowledgement of who he is. And this leper returns healed, praising in a great doxology unto the Lord God Jesus himself. And he falls at Jesus' feet. He literally throws himself at Jesus' feet, giving thanks, Eucharisto. It's where we get the word Eucharist in the Thanksgiving celebration of the Supper of our Lord, where he feeds and nourishes and strengthens our souls, our lives, our very being with that blessing of his grace, taking in him in. And for which we then have an opportunity to give thanks. It's an outward expression of coming together as God's people and thanking him. Like today, the outward expression of a nation and of God's people within this nation to give thanks. You have, as you came into worship today, a little piece of paper. It's got some hands on it. If you don't have one, they're on the back, in the back chair, also on where the offering plate is, if you need one. Tony, I think these three who came in late, my parents. You know, I've been waiting a whole ministry to do that. And now I get to, anyway, thank you. Thanks, Tony. You have hands, prayer hands, Thanksgiving hands. Doxology hands. Hands that will give us an opportunity as a worshiping, thankful people to publicly give expression of thanks to God. And the way we're going to do that for us today, starting today through the Advent season into Christmas, is we're going to use ornaments. These are called ornaments. Ornaments from our hearts. And we're going to decorate a tree. I don't know if you noticed, but on the back wall, there's a Christmas tree. Go ahead, turn around. Look, and look on the back wall. Back wall. See that beautiful green tree? Thanks to Gary and Sue who put that together for us. We're going to have a chance, starting today and through the Advent and Christmas season, to decorate our Christmas tree with different ornaments. As we come together throughout this, coming up in the Advent season, we'll have an opportunity with different decorations, different ornaments, to give acknowledgement of thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. Sunday, which is the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday, guess what's going to go on top of that tree? Well, you'll have to find out Sunday. A crown, of course, right? We crown the tree with Christ the King. Today, today I want to give you an opportunity to put down something that you're thankful for. A doxology unto the Lord that is a public declaration, I am thankful for this, Heavenly Father. And on your way out today, there's tape, and you just stick your ornament on the tree. And together, as a worshiping community, we will gather our thanks, pardon me, our thanksgivings today, And through the Advent and into the Christmas season, we'll decorate this tree with all the different acknowledgments of the Lord God who cares for us. For instance, I've got one for me, but I want to share also with one who couldn't be with us here today because her immune system is compromised right now because she's been going through cancer treatment. It's Linda G., and she raises a prayer of praise unto the Lord for healing from cancer. She got a full, clean report this last week, of which she gives thanks. So I'll add, Linda, I will add your ornament of thanksgiving unto the Lord, as I'll add mine as well there today. Praising and thanking the Lord and being able to do that publicly as God's people and to share that with one another is part of what we're about as members of the kingdom. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Well, where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God Almighty except this foreigner? We will not forget to give thanks. And we will let it be made known among us unto the Lord our God. Father, how grateful we are for all the blessings that you are worthy of receiving from the praise of your people. And Jesus said to this healed leper, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Faith, which binds us and brings us together as God's people. Faith, which is gladly expressed in these ornaments from our heart today of thanksgiving and doxology unto the Lord. Faith that moves us in this day of thanksgiving into Advent, into Christmas, into a new year, into life eternally. In Jesus our Savior, he is worthy of our thanks. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your one and only Son. And in Jesus, well, in Jesus, we are healed. Not just the leprosy of the skin and bones that the leper that knew in the biblical account today, but from that which separates and alienates us from you and our sinfulness and the curse of death over us. That you bring us and bind us together in you unto eternity because of your loving kindness towards us. Father, as we have an opportunity to give you praise and thanksgivings with these ornaments from our hearts today, there are earthly, physical blessings for which we give you thanks, but also among these ornaments, Lord, are the eternal expressions of thanksgivings unto you. As we decorate a tree again this year in that traditional blessing of being of celebrating, Lord, the coming of the Christ child, receive these ornaments from our heart then as a pleasing offering today of thanksgiving, of doxology to you. In Jesus, our Savior's name, we praise you and give you thanks. Amen.